Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. What is the one thing you want? Faithful followers of the Savior, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. My text is from the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Now, we just had the Good Shepherd Sunday here about, a month ago? So I'm not going to labor the shepherd part. I'm going to be talking about what we want. Good friends, let me ask you again, have you ever been in jail? I don't mean to visit behind closed bars. It's an eerie feeling when you hear the door click and shut behind you, and there's no way out. I've never been in jail, but I have visited people in jail. And here's an account of a person who visited the Holy Land. He writes that the Gaza Strip and West Bank area are the largest and most inhumane prison on the face of the planet. He continues that there are no metal bars, but there's a sea on one hand and Israeli soldiers on the other. There are checkpoints and a huge wall that keeps the population inside. Though they have cars and buses, they have nowhere to travel. Though they have beds and houses to eat and sleep, they do it with fear and trepidation. Life for these prisoners is harsh and difficult. But as bad as this prison is, there's one worse with a higher population of over 7 billion inmates. It is overcrowded, the conditions are terrible, and it's a lifelong sentence. Which prison is it, you ask? It is the prison of want. From the moment a person is born, he enters this prison seeking only what he wants. No matter how old or young the person is, there is always a want. Every prisoner is always crying, I want. A baby wants to be fed, or maybe changed. A young child wants another toy. A teen wants a car. An adult wants a job, and the elderly want enough money to retire and to be taken care of in their advanced age with medical and any other assistance. The prison of want is as real as it gets. We want something, something bigger, something faster, something nicer, and maybe even something shinier. We always want something. We often want one thing more, one more job, one more promotion, one more vacation, one more outing, one new car, one new house, one more dollar, one more meal. Our appetite is greedy. We just want one more thing, for we think that we will be satisfied. David, the author of our text, declares, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." But we say it this way, "The Lord is my shepherd, and I still want." We can't deny this truth, no matter who we are, what our vocation is, or what our station in life is. We want one more. The person who described the West Bank prison also tells this story. He writes, "We stopped for a camel ride. The man who owned the camel was nice and kind. While he and I were visiting, he whispered in my ear, 'Sir, do you have a woman on that bus that I could marry?' I responded, "I thought you were married." He smiled and said, "Oh, I'm married. I have three wives, but I want one more. Just one more thing." Again, friends, no matter where you are in life or where you live, the prison of want is as real as it gets. It affects all people throughout the whole world, whether poor or rich, male or female. A few years back, a missionary came home from furlough from Africa's bush country. During the Q&A, a person asked the missionary, "What is the biggest challenge that people you witness to have?" The missionary responded, "Greed." The man said, "How can that be? For they have nothing." The missionary answered, "If they have a straw roof hut, they want a wooden roof." It is indeed a travesty that we're all in the prison of want. Oh, don't misunderstand me. We do get out occasionally when we get to what we want. But as soon as the newness wears off, we go right back into jail. We want something different. The human appetite is never satisfied. Even when we're attempting to live the Christian life by praying, our prayers are often still prayers of want. More often than not, our prayers are like this: "Lord, give me success. Lord, just give me a new job or a new car or a new bicycle." If you follow sports teams and you watch the spectators and the players oftentimes, you will see them take up a pose of praying. They're just praying for one more victory. However, we don't often pray, "Father, use me to spread your kingdom. Lord Jesus, help me to seek the lost. Holy Spirit, equip me to be about the mission work of the church by sharing the good news." This is the life of the prisoner of want. It's universal. Even the animals of the world we live in are prisoners of want. In the book of Proverbs, the author highlights these wants. The leech has two daughters, give and give. Three things are never satisfied, four never say enough. Sheol, the barren womb, the land never satisfied with water, and the fire that never says enough. We're all guilty of this. How often we go to other pastures and follow other shepherds. Even Paul struggled with the desire of want, saying, "For I know that nothing good dwells within me, that is, in my flesh. For I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not do is what I keep on doing. Now, if I do what I do not want, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me." Oh, the challenge of being prisoners. We all go to the pastures of want and the shepherds of desire, and the cycle starts all over. The cycle continues, age to age and day to day. Still we say, still we seek other pastures and other shepherds, the pastures of want and the shepherds of desire. Beloved in the Lord, I have good news. Though we're all prisoners of want, there is someone who has freed us from this prison cell. David teaches us today this absolute truth: "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." the Lord, who is the good shepherd, frees us from the prison of want. The faithful shepherd is the one who opens the gates of the prison and sets us free. He did this as he swapped places with us. He became the prisoner, and we became the free men. We died a cruel death. He died a cruel death to make this swap a reality and remove once and for all the bars and chains that hold us captive. On the cross of Calvary, after Jesus had taken all our sins of want and greed into his flesh, he was crucified. Our wants were crucified also. He died with them, even as we die with him in the waters of baptism. When Jesus said, "It is finished," it was as if his powerful voice exclaimed, "Enough." In Christ, we have all we will ever need or want. The call to faith is the call to contentment. David learned the art of being content when he announced to the world, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." He meant it. When Jesus is the anchor of your soul, you will be content. When Jesus is the hope of your life, there is hopefulness and there is salvation. When Jesus is your shepherd, then you have a God who will supply your every need. You have a God who listens to your every plea for mercy. You have a God who answers your every prayer with his grace. You have a God who opens the gates to heaven for you. What David is teaching us is that when Jesus is your shepherd, you have grace for every sin, direction for every turn, a light for the path, and an anchor for every storm. When you have Jesus, you have everything. Paul learned that too as he wrote to the Philippian congregation, saying, "Not that I'm speaking of being in need, for I have learned, in whatever situation I am, to be content." Like Paul, when we keep our eyes on the Good Shepherd, who died for us and rose again, we have life, and we have it abundantly. Beloved in the Lord, the people of Gaza and West Bank want freedom from oppression. The camel owner wants another wife. The African people want a wooden roof hut. We want more of the world's goods, stuff. But know this truth. All of these things are given us in the one whom David said, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." But did you know that God has a want list also? Paul put it this way: "This is good and is pleasing in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all people to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth." And in his Son, the faithful Good Shepherd, we have come to know God as the one who gets us out of the prison of want and into the blessed life of his green pastures, into an eternity with him. Amen. Now may the peace which surpasses understanding guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.